St. Blaise is one of those very strange feast days to me. Not strange in the way that St. Blaise was strange, if you will, but it's bizarre because it's such, you know, in all of our traditional lives, as can be seen by the good number of people that are here, you know, throughout wherever you go, St. Blaise is somebody that people are really devoted to because of the fact that they get the throat blessing. They want to come to Mass. They want to receive that blessing for their throats. Yet when you look at it liturgically, St. Blaise is a saint from the earlier part of the Church, and as such, during the time frame of the Church, he must have at some point kind of fallen a bit out of popularity or obscurity because his rank is that of simplex. It's not a major ranking saint, yet still we keep his memory, yet still we all come because we know how powerful and how important that blessing of throats is. Well, St. Blaise himself is really no less extraordinary when we think of it as a man. That's why he is, of course, a saint. But he really has an extraordinary life that was with him. And it started off that during the early part of his life, it talks of that he was something along the lines of a doctor, that he would actually work to help healing sickness of people. Yet he knew in his life that he was actually called to something greater. He was called to something higher. And so he went and left the practice of physician to become a physician of souls. He was ordained a priest and then later made a bishop and would be out and preaching and gaining converts for the Church through his ministry. At some point, though, as he got a little bit older, he decided that it was, for him, it was his duty in the public service. He thought maybe it was done. Maybe it was no longer what he was called to do. And so he retired to a cave to live out his days as a hermit, living a life of prayer and of penance in the cave. Well, the stirring up had already taken place. He had already made himself known in the pagan world as this man who is a devout Christian gaining souls for Christ. And so the powers that be, the higher ups in the government, if you will, they're already angry at him and sought after him. So he removes himself to a cave, yet they still seek for him. And he's there, and they come in, these soldiers, into the woods looking for him. But they don't know exactly where he is, and they can't find him. And so they travel through the wilderness, and as they're going about, as soldiers would, you know, they're out in the middle of nowhere. They're in the woods. They planned on basically hunting for their own sustenance. Yet everywhere they go, no matter how stealthy they are, how careful they are, and whatever methods they use, they're finding no game whatsoever in order to kill, to be able to feed themselves. And they're wondering, what do we have to do to get getting hungry? What do we have to do to catch this food? Well, there's a reason why the game had all disappeared. You see, as nature sometimes, by acts of supernatural and miraculous, anytime someone is standing up against Christ, nature at times will not allow them to do so, or at least give an outward sign that it's displeased with that Christ needs to be you can't stand against him, rather you need to be putting him first above all else. And so as these men were hunting, they found no game whatsoever. And what happened? Well, God deigned it that the cave that St. Blaise was living in, all the wild beasts of the area surrounded the mouth of the cave. They're all standing guard at the mouth of the cave. And so as these soldiers finally came across this wild game, they realized, well, this is too much of it. We can't take it all ourselves. This is much too dangerous. And so they went and got more help. They went back, got more men, came out and said, you know, look at this, all these wild animals that are here. What are we going to do? And so finally, one of them gets this bright idea. Well, why don't we just ask him to come out? They yell out, Blaise, come on out of the cave. The prefect of the city wants to see you. And St. Blaise says, no, I'm so glad that you've asked. I thought God had forgotten me. More being kind of snide in his comment, I guess, if you will, about the fact that he knew what was going to happen, the persecution that was going to come to him. Yet he wasn't really letting on, but at the same time kind of letting it know that he was ready to serve God, even if it meant to the spilling of his own blood. And so he walks right out of the cave, and all the animals part aside. Out he comes, and they take him in. And the prefect, being a wicked man, but also somewhat thinking himself somewhat cunning, greets Blaise when he sees him and says, "Blaise, how good to see you. Greetings, friend of the gods." And St. Blaise returns the greeting. "You know, Your Excellency, the prefect, how good it is to see you as well. However, don't call me the friend of your gods, and don't refer to them as gods, as they are demons." And at that, the prefect, all the pretense went away, and he was enraged at him, and he ordered him to be tortured and eventually killed. And no matter what that he did to him, Blaise would not offer sacrifice to the gods. He was hung, and he was tortured by beatings, and he was scourged and pulled with iron hooks, and then finally, and all throughout that, he kept giving praise to God. Throughout his entire ordeal, he never ceased to even once miss any opportunity, not only giving praise, but preaching. He would preach to his own persecutors, to his own captives, and he would work miracles to show them that Christ really was the true God, no matter what was happening to him. In fact, in that journey back from the cave to the city, he had time to do a number of great works during his preaching. One time, there was a young boy from one of the villages they were passing by that had choked on a bone, and that bone was lodged in his throat, and he had died. And the mother brought him out to Blaise, knowing him, knowing his reputation, knowing him as a holy man, and the boy was brought back to life. He was cured. Another time, a woman had a pet pig, a livestock pig, if you will, that she cared for. And a wolf had come and attacked the pig and carried it off. And so Blaise yelled out to the wilderness and told the wolf, "You must return this pig." And sure enough, out came trotting the wolf, bearing the pig, and returned it to the woman. And the pig was no worse for wear. And that same woman, would later visit him in the prison as he was being tortured. And she would bring him two candlesticks tied together with a red ribbon. And she brought him some of the meat from the pig to give him sustenance during his trials. And in the end of it all, finally, after many times of working miracles and preaching, the prefect decided no more, and had Blaise beheaded, and he gained that wonderful palm of martyrdom. But in that great story, we see where that history of all these great treasures of this one saint, and where the combination of a couple of those stories leads to that blessing of throats. There's the boy who actually had the bone lodged in his throat and was healed. There's the woman who brought the two candles tied together with a red ribbon. And one other instance, right before Blaise was about to die, he told the woman to always burn candles in his honor in the church, and great blessings would arrive there. And so the combination of those three instances combined to that throat blessing that has been passed down to us for centuries now, and that we will do here after Mass, a great and powerful blessing that will help keep us from any maladies that may come our way, or at least to help us to endure them if they be part of the divine providence. So let's all pray to St. Blaise for his intercession in our lives altogether, and especially during this time when I know that there are colds and sicknesses going around. Let's especially pray for any kind of physical healing, if it be part of God's will, that he may help keep us healthy and well in order to serve him better in our day-to-day life. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.